President of us.
Good morning.
As we are in the time for the Bible reading, it will be taken from the book of John chapter 4, verse 21 to 26. John chapter 4, verse 21 to 26. It reads, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." So it is, you worship what you do not know, we worship what you know, for salvation is from the Jews. 23. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. 24. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to Him, "I know that my Father is coming, even who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." 26. Jesus said to her, "I will speak to you, and He." Amen.
Amen.
Morning.
Good to be here. On the Lord's Day, another week. Hope you've had a good week. Not sure how your week has gone. Has it been tough? You've been through some struggles. It's not easy, is it? This walk. It's not easy. Well, I pray that this day will be a day of encouragement, a day of uplift. I often think of times when you know, when you want to kind of feel like you're close to God, you ever get in days when you kind of feel you're a bit distant from Him. I know sometimes what I tend to do, there's a place I go. Now it's not the building, but I found a monastery near to where I live. And I don't go for the building, I don't go for the monastery, but I can sit in there and hear my heartbeat. And you know, sometimes it's a place where I'll go and I'll just sit and I'll reflect and pray, and I can sit there for hours, you know, just praying and focusing and trying to get my concentration on my relationship with my God, because God is a loving God. Whatever you were going through in your life, let me assure you that you will find peace with God. You'll find peace with God. It doesn't necessarily mean that our problems all disappear. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, everything that in our life is just going to go so smoothly. In fact, quite often we find when we become a Christian, things become a lot harder. We go through a lot of hardships and a lot of difficulties. But listen, God is a wonderful, merciful God, and He is with you. I always remember my mother on a Sunday would say to me, "Now listen, it says in the Bible where two or three are gathered, the Lord is in your presence." And she says, "I want you to imagine walking into your worship place on a Sunday, the building, it's just a building that we use for worship." She goes, "Imagine walking in and finding your Savior sitting on the platform. He's sitting there and He's looking out towards His feet. And He says, you know, I'm with you. I've been with you. I watch over you." We gather together on a Sunday to worship God. We're here to worship Him. You know, and sometimes we picture a Sunday as a time where it's for us. But actually, this time is specifically dedicated to God. It's our worship. It's our time of thanks. It's our time of praising our wonderful, mighty, loving God. And so that is why you'll find in our worship we do things slightly different and how we conduct the service in a certain way. Because we're here to praise our loving God. We read a passage in John chapter 4 that talked about a woman at the well in Jacob's well, in Sychar in Samaria. And we see her, there she is in the presence of Jesus, unaware at that time who He was. It was only when she started telling, when He started telling her of the things that He knew of her that she hadn't revealed to Him. And he kind of reminds me that God knows your problems. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what your difficulties are. And Jesus said to the woman, "Believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. And then he goes on to say, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, "Well, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ." And he said, "And when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." And there she was, in the presence of the Messiah, in the presence of the Savior. And he revealed to her a message that was so powerful, so touching. It was incredible. In fact, the message was so powerful and life-changing. Do you know one of the things that some people feel, you know, you just got to study the Bible till you know it back to front. And you know it inside out before you can accept. Listen, Christ's message is very simple, very straightforward. And when we look at God's word and God's message, and we see Him before this woman revealing Himself to her, we see how Jesus' journey changes, because He ends up staying in that area, because this woman goes into the city of Sychar and tells the people, "Listen, I've just seen the Messiah." And they came and listened as He taught each and every one of them. Everything in the Word of God is about the truth. We keep emphasizing this in our Bible studies, in our lessons, in everything that we do. John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You cannot be freed by something that isn't true. We used the example last week, you can't undo a combination lock unless you have the true combination. You can't make a cake to a certain type unless you use the correct recipe. And the Bible says you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the Bible teaches us the realities of life, including worship. And when you understand the truth in any subject, it makes us free from the ways of man. Because if we are not following the truth in whatever we're doing, as Christians or as people who are striving to follow, if we are not following what is in here, then it cannot relieve us, it cannot free us, it cannot make us free, because these things are of God. And so we live in a world today that worships God in so many different ways. We live in a world today that believes you can be saved in so many different ways. We live in a world that says you can worship God any way you like. But the Bible reveals the truth. And so if I want to know how to become a Christian, I can only find it in here. If I want to know about God, I can only find it in here. And if I want to know how to worship my God, then this is where it is found. Because it's the truth, the Word of God. Truth, brethren, is liberating. There's nothing greater than it. The truth about worship, therefore, is very important. Now, in our lives, we worship God in so many different ways. You know, you worship God in your homes. You worship godmothers bringing your children. You worship God in your workplaces when you are striving to be the best that you can be, and you're looking for opportunities in your studies, in the universities, in your schools, wherever you are. The joy of being in a relationship with God. And so, do you know, when we go to heaven, we won't preach sermons. We won't need to. We won't need to preach sermons. We won't need to preach the gospel in heaven. We won't need to pray. We'll already be there. But one thing we will definitely do when we go to heaven is we will worship our God. We will worship our God. And so we need to get it right here now. Because not only is it a blessing for us to be able to worship our God, but also it's a blessing to know that one day we'll be able to do this for all eternity. And so this is the question that I have to ask myself sometimes in my life. Certainly as a younger person, I have to question this. In fact, I was provoked by others. Hey, Paul, listen, I want to ask you a question. Is your worship empty? Is your worship empty? I say, I'm sorry. What do you mean is my worship empty? Is your worship empty? Is it the way that God wants your worship to be? I said, can worship be empty? Yes. Even Jesus said that worship can be empty. In Mark 7 and verse 6, he says, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me. And so therefore, the Bible says that my worship can be empty. These people honors me with their lips. In other words, they move their lips. They sing the songs. They take the communion. They arrive here every Sunday. But they honor me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. What is God looking for? He's looking for your heart. You see, when we come here on a Sunday, we don't want to just come physically. We want to come with our heart ready. Our heart needs to be ready. You know, I've told you before, and I know I've said it on many occasions, that one of my lecturers when I was studying at the school many, many, many years ago now, and Janet and myself would sit behind him on the Lord's Day, and he never spoke to me anymore. He would shake my hand and he would just sit down quietly. And I remember asking him one day, sir, do you mind me asking, why is it you don't say? He said, listen, I start preparing Saturday night for my worship Sunday morning. I'm getting my heart right. I'm getting my heart in place. If you get up in the morning, have you ever had one of them days you're having an argument? Everything's just chaos, you know. But I've been there. Listen, I've been there. We get times in our lives when we can be distracted. We get things going on in our lives, so many things that stress us, and we get all anxious, and we can have a situation in our car just coming here where somebody does something and you're angry and you're rage, and you get here and you arrive in church and you're sitting down, and then all of a sudden the countdown goes, and then we stand up and we begin our first hymn, and you're singing away and you're doing everything that you need to do. And the people, Jesus says, honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, because their heart is enraged with all the troubles of life. And that is the conflict. In other words, we go through the motions, we go through the habit, we go through the minimal amount that we can give. And it becomes a routine. And I can be guilty of that myself. You know, we are human. Now, the question is your worship true? Again, Jesus spoke about true worshippers, didn't he? He said, the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father. That's who we're here for. We're here for the Father, not for me, not for anybody here. We're not here to elevate. We have our motto here. Remember, when you come through the door, you are the smallest in the room. Including me. Because there's only one person at a time who takes the high place in here, and that's our Saviour. Our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father, you listen, in spirit and in truth. And this is the bit I love in this passage. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. That is what our Lord is looking for. Our Lord is looking for true worshippers. Our Lord is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that is what He's seeking, to worship Him. I want you to note at this time that this was written, or this event had taken place, want you to know that this was not in the new covenant, this was in the old covenant. So when Jesus is standing with this woman and talking about her situation, she will be familiar with the old covenant. And so we see how he says worshippers. At that time, worshippers worshipped in body, soul and mind. Emotions and feelings. In fact, if you go into the Old Testament and look at how the people worshipped God, they burnt incense. But we don't burn incense. They sacrificed animals, but we don't sacrifice animals. They would have to do tithing, so they would take this tithing offering. But we don't do those things. At those times, they had to have a priest act on behalf of them. So the priest would be the one that would take the blood into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat to cover the sins of the people because they live in the old covenant. And so Jesus, when he says the time is coming, the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipper worship the Father in spirit and truth, something is going to change. At that time they couldn't worship in spirit. But the hour is coming, he says, when they will. And he does say in the passage, if you notice as well, but the hour is coming and now is. And what you have to remember is when he says now is, it refers to Jesus who was present at that time, the first human ever to be able to do just that. He was the first one. And so, we see that the true worshippers will worship in spirit. In other words, we haven't had to come here with our sacrifices. We haven't had to come here with our animals. We haven't had to have a priest go into a place and offer an atonement for our, to cover our sins, because our sins have been taken away. The true worshippers will worship in spirit. The hour came on the day of Pentecost when the church began. When the church began, that was the changing point. That was the time when now, as you become a child of God, our whole relationship changes. We can now give as we have determined in our own hearts. I'm not told how much to tithe. I haven't got to bring an animal sacrifice in because my Saviour died once for all. And he didn't cover the sin, he eradicated the sin, he took the sin away. And so God is looking for his worshippers to be worshippers who worship in spirit. That's the church, brethren. That's the Christian today. A good picture in the Old Testament is the tabernacle. If you ever study the tabernacle or look at the tabernacle, it was this tent, it was this dwelling place that was there for the people to go in to worship God. They had what they called the outer courts in the tabernacle. And so you go along with your sacrifice into that area. But when you come to the inner section, the Holy of Holies, the high priest, was the one that would go into there. You wasn't going to go in there. You've got no access. You've got no access there. And then when Jesus came and died on the cross, that curtain was torn. The veil was stripped. And the presence of God was revealed. And God's people could go to him. Be in his presence. He dwells within us. And so we, brethren, are the ones that will worship in spirit and in truth. God dwelt in the most holy place, in the tabernacle. But when Jesus died, it was then that the veil was torn, and it was then that we received the Spirit of God within us when we are immersed in the baptistry here. We received the Spirit of God within us. We have been given access to our holy God. We, brethren, are now the priests. We're the priests. We have been given access. So we can now worship God in spirit, not from the outer court, brethren. The outer court is like your physical body. Everything in the Old Testament was physical. Everything that was done was physical, but everything that now is done is spiritual. It's not in the outer courts where everybody can see, but it's what goes on in the inner place. the holy place, the place where we're in a relationship with our amazing, powerful, loving God. And how easy, brethren, can we fail this worship? We focus on ourselves. Sometimes we forget in our worshiping life generally, but what about when we come together here to worship? How easy can we fail in this worship? How easy can we find ourselves not motivated correctly, not focused but prepared and ready to worship our God, and our God sits on his throne and we're in his presence and he's here with this assembly right now in this presence, in our presence. Every song that we have sung today, he has listened to your heart. He's listened to what's within you. And if we're not careful, we can fail, we can focus on ourselves. What do I get from this? You know, what did I get from the worship today? What did I get from church today? Listen, we come here today to give it all to God. Every song, every prayer, every part of our worship is to give honor and glory to his holy, loving name. I want you to listen to this conversation between the devil and Jesus Christ. This conversation that went on. Matthew 4 and verse 9, of course, we have a picture of there's the devil trying to take some worship for him. He wants a bit of worship. And he said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Can you believe that? We're talking about the devil, who was once the highest angel. He was radiant. But you see, what he wanted was he wanted a bit of worship. He wanted a bit for himself. And so there he is before Jesus and said, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you. Away with you, Satan. For it is written. Remember, we said the truth. Always in here. Even our Saviour was aware of that. It is written. It is in the Word. It is written. Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and in him only shall you serve. The devil's downfall, the desire to be worshipped, the desire to take this amazing glory for himself. And indirectly, brethren, the devil uses this tool for you and me. Satan is the god of this world, don't be deceived by that. He's the god of this world with a small g in your Bible. Because he doesn't deserve the big G. He's not worthy. He's the god of this world. Satan controls the businesses in this world, you know that? He controls your workplaces. He will find a way. He controls the entertainment world. I mean, let's face it, is there any channel on the TV you can watch anymore? They're terrible. He controls the entertainment world. He controls your TV. He controls your radio. He controls the internet. He even controls our children's educations in the school. Because the devil is the god of this world. And what he's trying to do is get people to stop worshipping the true God. Because he wants to worship for himself. He couldn't even get the Saviour to do that. And so come singing for an hour and worshipping for an hour on the Lord's Day is not enough. It has to be a worship from the heart. When you come here, when I come here, because these sermons are for me as well, when I come here, I have to be sure that my heart is right with my God. Because my God deserves the worship. And if my heart is not right with God, then my worship becomes something that the devil is going to benefit from. It is going to be something for him. And I'm not giving him anything. I don't want him to have any glory, any praise. And every time we trip in our lives, he is the one that will get the pat on the back for pulling you away from the true and living God. Worshipping in the Spirit, not just with our words, not just with our minds. If we want to truly worship God, we have to worship from within. If you have taken God from the center of your life, your worship today was in vain. You may as well have stayed at home. If God is not the center of your life, He has to be the center. God has to come first in everything in your life. Every decision, everything that we do. And it's not easy. It's a difficult walk. And it's a difficult journey. But when we put God first, that changes everything. You see, you know, the first time of worship was ever mentioned in the Bible. It was mentioned with reference to Abraham. We don't know his exact age at this time, but probably around about 125 years old, something like that. He was old. And God tested, remember, God tested Abraham earlier in his life. And He told him to leave everything and go where he was directed. So, you know, that was a test in itself. And so, what God is doing in that test was God was testing him to say, Abraham, am I going to be the center of your life? That was the test. But along comes another test for the man. The next test, where God wants to know if I'm still first in your life, is in Genesis 22 and verse 1, where He said, I want you to go and sacrifice your son. I want you to go and sacrifice your son for me. And in the passage in verse 5, and Abraham said to the young man who was with him, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. And that's very important, because here in this passage, God tests him. Am I still first in your life? You better believe it. So much faith did he have in God that he even knew he would come back with his son. Even thinking, well, if I slay my son, God will bring him back to life, or if God will spare him. And so Abraham said, stay here with the donkey. I and my son will go yonder, and we will worship, and we will come back to you. The worship comes first in all situations, even when you're testing. You've been tested. Even when you're going through struggles in your life, there are things going on in your life where they're going to be tests. We're being tested. We're being put to the test. The question is, are we going to worship God? You see, He is worshiping before He comes back, not when He comes back. He says here, I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back. So he puts his worship in the center point of this test that he was presented with, knowing that later he would come back. This is the first time the word worship comes up in the Bible. First time. That means I will offer what is most precious in my life to my God, and I will worship Him. I will worship Him. I'm going to have to make some sacrifices, give some things up, and I'm going to worship my God. I'm going to have to maybe give up a job, but I'm going to worship my God. I might have to give up a family member. I'm going to worship my God. I am going to put God center in my life. I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back. So what will you offer in worship to God? Because are we willing to give God everything and still worship Him even when times are hard? Are we going to keep worshiping Him? When we get up in the morning and the Lord's Day, and we come here as the body, and we're stressed out with all of life and all of our problems, and we're coming here and saying, what's in it for me? Well, what we're doing is we're coming here to say, listen, whatever's going on in my life, whatever things I'm going through, I am going to go and give a worthy worship to a worthy God, and God, and give honor and glory to His name. God needs to be the center of your life. He has to be the center. Whatever is number one in your life. The one thing that really is precious to you, will you give it up if need be and give honor and praise and worship to a loving God? You know, the second place we see worship in the Bible is in Job. But not many people understand or realize this, but actually Job, do you know Job came before Abraham? Even though it's way up in the Bible, you know, when you're going through, he came before Abraham. It's just that the order of how it is in the Bible, well, Job lived before Abraham. In fact, you'll find no references in there with reference to Abraham at that time. But we see this man Job, who God allowed Satan to test his life. God allowed Satan to test him. And we see in the test that everything that he had was taken from him. Everything, his children, his family, his goods, his wealth, was all taken from him. He was a man who heard bad news. You heard bad news. Imagine this. Imagine someone coming up to you this morning, they're saying, listen, before you walk through the door, they meet you just outside here and say, listen, before you go in, I just want to let you know something. You have lost everything. It's all gone. You've got nothing left. And we read in Job 1:20, then Job arose, tore his robe, that's natural, shaved his head, and then it says he fell down to the ground and worshipped God. He worshipped God after losing everything that he had. And the lesson is this: God must be our center. He has to be. The last thing on your mind when you go to bed at night is God. And the first thing when you wake up in the morning is God. And everything in between and through the day, let God constantly be there. And there are times when we get so focused on other things. When we're going through our daily routines, God, you know, but what would Jesus do? How would Jesus react in this situation? How am I going to deal with this? What would God want me to do? How am I going to deal with this situation that I'm in? Or how am I going to deal with it, this problem that I have? And we have to remember that when God is centering our life and we have the truth, we'll get by. Even if we lose everything or a few things, could we fall to the ground and worship our loving God? No matter what you lose in life, this is one thing I've learned. Again, my mother. My mother was through my life, and before she passed away, even up to her last dying day, she would never stop giving advice about the Word of God. And she says to me, you know what, Paul, no matter what you lose in your life, God is still on the throne. He is still your Father. If you are homeless on the street tomorrow, if you leave here in one situation, you wake up tomorrow in another, God remains on the throne. God remains your Father. Christ's salvation is still yours, and you are still a part of his body. And that is how these men of God, they lived their lives knowing that they have a mighty, powerful, loving God who, no matter what happened in their life, to him be all the glory, honor, and praise. We might lose a few things on earth, but the important things haven't changed, brethren. Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that in all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God must be our focus. He has to be. I love looking in the psalm. Let me just share a psalm, 107:32. Psalm 107, verse 32. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. You see, God is referred to in this passage as the one that we should exalt and praise. And wherever we are, brethren, we give honour and glory to God. But when we assemble together as the body on the Lord's Day, we come here with one God. And that's to give honour and praise to a mighty, loving God. To him we give all the glory. Let me just share one more verse. 1 John 5 and verse 3. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdens. Everything I have found about God is a blessing. Sometimes the things that we might necessarily not like, or sometimes we find ourselves in situations that we don't feel comfortable with. But the love of God is that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are our first name. Why do we love God? We love God because he first loved us. Pray and bless you and continue in our walk together. Amen. Let's rise and have the invitation.